Dushas Levi Parshas Vayishlach Tavshin Ayin Ches. Okay, we'll take it from the top. B'shem Adoni Avi Mori V'Rabbi Zatza. He begins with the teaching that he heard from his father. Im Lavan Garti, when Yaakov comes to encounter Esav in this week's parsha at the very beginning, he sends a message. What's the message? The message is Im Lavan Garti. In case you've wondered where I've been the last 20 years, I've been hanging out by Lavan. Pirish Rashi, Im Lavan Garti, Pirtayag Mitzvos Shamarti. Esav, in case you're worried, I'm still from. I keep all 613 mitzvos, like marrying two sisters. I'm just joking, that's actually not a mitzvah. It's a good question, first of all. Mefarshim tried, it's a good Sunday topic, right? Like, what does it mean, Tarig Mitzvah Shemarti, when we know there are certain things he didn't keep? And Bechlau, what's the meaning of Tarig Mitzvah? What's the source for Tarig Mitzvah? Maybe Sunday, I don't know. Thinking about it now. It's a good Sunday topic. But that's not our question right now. Our question is much more simple. Why would Yaakov announce to Esav, in case you're worried, I'm still from? Hodia Lozos, Chazal revealing this to us, and Yaakov was revealing this to Esav, the Rabbi Hussein was al Amru Shashalach lo lahagid, you should just know, in case you're jealous of me, there's no reason to have kinna towards me. Why? Because in case you think I stole your brachos, you should just know that the promise that was given of mital hashamayim mishmanei haaretz never came true. I don't have mital hashamayim and I don't have mishmanei haaretz. All I have is yeshli, shor v'chamor. I have a couple of animals. But in case you're worried that I stole your brachos, you should just know I didn't steal your brachos. It looks like I have a lot of stuff. It's true. I've been successful on some level. But what I have is not mital hashamayim mishmanei haaretz. Shezeh einu lo mital hashamayim velo mishmanei haaretz. Yeshli shor v'chamor. I have shor v'chamor. I don't have land. I don't have produce. So that bracha never came true. And if you'll say the bracha didn't come true because I've been a bad Jew, ukadesh lo yomar Esav t'mehay taim alo niskaimu. And if you'll say, if you're right, Yaakov thought maybe Esav's going to say back to him, well, maybe you haven't been religious enough, and that's why the bracha is not. Maybe the bracha is dependent upon your behavior. Machmas shalo shomer haTorah, va'abrachos lo nitnu lo rak amanas shiakayim haTorah. Maybe the bracha was only given to you on condition that you'll keep Hashem's Torah. Kepeirush beparshas told us bepasuk v'haya kasher tarid v'chulu. As the bracha says that even though Rav Ya'avod Tzair, even though Esav is going to have to serve Yaakov, Yaakov is going to dominate Esav, but the pasuk says that if it gets to a point that it's overbearing, then you're able to throw off the yoke. Meaning what? Meaning the bracha of Yaakov's dominance of Esav is dependent upon Yaakov's behavior. Built into the bracha is the possibility that if Yaakov is not worthy, Esav will not have to be subservient to him. As the pasuk says, v'haya kasher tarid. Right? It'll be that if he causes you too much aggravation, then you're able to end the pasuk is you can throw off the yoke. So meaning there is a reality that Esav will not be subservient to Yaakov if Yaakov doesn't keep the Torah mitzvahs. So if you'll say that maybe the bracha didn't come true, again, this is all Yaakov trying to explain to Esav why he shouldn't be so angry at him. Just b'derech ha-pshat. In case you think I've been a bad Jew and that's why the bracha didn't come true, you should just know that I've been a very good Jew. I've kept all 613 mitzvahs. And nonetheless, the brachos still haven't come true. And all this, again, is just by way of being docha Esav. Esav's coming to kill him with 400 men. You should just know, if you think I stole your brachos, it hasn't come true. And if you say that I'm not worthy of it, I am worthy of it because I've been practicing Torah and mitzvahs. Even though I've kept the Torah, the bracha didn't come true. And therefore you have no reason to be angry towards me about the brachos. Okay? Of course, in the end, the bracha would come true. Right? But at least in the moment, Yaakov is trying to offer a compelling explanation of why Esav shouldn't be upset at him. If you thought I stole your brachos, you should just know, I don't have any of the bracha. None of that bracha has come true. And hopefully that would save Yaakov's life. Okay, very much b'derech ha-pshat, just trying to explain to us Rashi, the Berditchever, in the name of his father. Okay? Next piece. Hatzileni na, when Yaakov hears from the Malachim that he's in trouble, that Esav is coming with 400 men, Mistama, to harm him, to kill him. So Yaakov davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, please save me, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. However, what's the obvious question? Miyad achi miyad Esav? Right? Of course it's his brother. What's the chiddush in announcing that it's his brother? So what does Rashi say? He started Shnayim Mikra this week. What does Rashi say? Gotta get the basic pshat then before we get the more advanced pshat, which is found both here in the Kedushas Levi, almost the same inyan, Kemat, the very same inyan is found in the Beis HaLevi also. So just to make sure that people don't think Kedushas Levi is not part of our Masorah in this yeshiva, you should just know, right, that the original Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik in the Beis HaLevi says the same pshat as the B'ditch over here. But let's start with Rashi. What's the Pashup shot? Always have to get that in, you know? What's the Pashup shot? The Pashup shot is Yaakov is davening out of terrible fear. This is my brother. How should a brother treat a fellow brother? With love. The bond of brotherhood sometimes goes above and beyond the normal feelings you have for someone. What I'll do for my own brother is different than what I'll do even for a close friend or what I'll do for just the person in my community. The bond of brotherhood is the deepest bond. And yet, despite the fact that he's my brother, he's coming at me like an Esav. He's coming to kill me. So that just shows you how angry Esav must be. Again, normally brotherhood, that bond of brotherhood, would allow the sinah to be pushed aside. And Af al pi chen, Yaakov says, despite the fact that he's my brother, and should have an extra place in his heart for me, he's coming to murder me. So it just makes it that much more the fear of Yaakov, right? And again, that's not my take on Yaakov. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says Yaakov was afraid, right? Yaakov was scared, despite the promise that he had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Yaakov was very afraid, and he was afraid because how could a brother turn against me in such hatred and such desire to take revenge against me over a birthright that he sold me? Okay, so that's Pashup Shah. That's Rashi. Miyarachi, despite being my brother, he's coming at me like an Esav. Okay? What else have you heard? What's a deeper pshat? The Zohar, by the way, comments on this pasuk that we learn from this pasuk that when a person davens, a person has to try to daven in the most precise way possible. Meaning, when you daven for a cholah, don't just say, Hashem, you know that there are people sick in the world, so just make everyone who's sick better. You're supposed to specify, Hashem, I want Ploni ben Ploni or Ploni Plonis bas Plonis. Right? To have a refuah shlema. To specify the name of the person that you're davening for. And you see that from the fact that Yaakov was specific here. Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. In case you think I'm talking about a different Esav, you should just know that the Esav that I'm afraid of is the one who's my brother. And the Zohar learns from here, again, the importance of trying to be precise, not to assume God knows, even though he does, what you're thinking. Hashem, you know what I'm asking for when I ask for refuah. No, Hashem says, of course I know, but I want you to be mindful of it. Tell me who you're davening for. You need parnasa, you need chachma, atachonin la'adam das. Don't just daven stam, Hashem, help me to be smart. Say, Hashem, banaba itztaba, sukadav dalam et aleph. I need some help, rabbona shal. Be specific. It's important to be specific. But the Kedushas Levi has a different shot, and again, it's the same as the Beis HaLevi. Two HaLevis, same shot. Look what he says. Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. De Esav hu hasitra achra. Esav we know is the sitra achra. Esav represents the Yitzhara. Hu malach hamavis hu Yitzhara. As the Gemara in Bava Basra says, that the Yitzhara and the malach hamavis and the Satan are all one malach, one being, right? And Esav is the embodiment of all of that negativity. Esav is the Satan. Esav is the Malach Mavis, Esav is the Yetzer Hara. So what's Yaakov davening? He wasn't only davening about his brother Esav. What was he davening about? Uvakoshas Yaakov haya hatzileni nasha lo yeah Esav achi. Right? That Esav shouldn't appear as a brother. That the Yetzer Hara shouldn't pretend to be my friend. Because the Yetzer Hara will often get you by pretending to be your friend. Let's have a good time together. Let's go do X, Y, or Z, which is against the Torah, but the Yetzer Hara lures you in. As if he's your buddy, as if he's trying to help you, right? And then of course he comes to get you. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Basra. First he comes as the Yitzhara. First he's the Yitzhara, and he comes and he entices you. Then he goes as the Satan to tell on you, and then he comes back as the Malach HaMaves to punish you. So Yaakov Davin, don't let Esav be like a brother to me. Let me have a clarity that sometimes the Yetzer Hara tricks me into thinking that he's my friend. And that happens in different ways. Look what he explains. V'zehu miyad achi miyad Esav. Shol yizgal gel ha-Yetzer Hara ye achi. That the Yetzer Hara shouldn't be my brother. She'pa'amim chas v'shalom ha-Yetzer Hara meisis la'aveira. Because sometimes the Yetzer Hara is able to seduce a person to an aveira. U'le'in adam mare mitzvah. And he pretends, he presents it, ki'ilu it's a mitzvah. Right? The Yetzer Hara gets you to do averos, and he presents it, ki'ilu it's a mitzvah. V'al derech zeh miskarev la'adam, l'lechdo b'mehera lasos avera v'havein. And in this way, the Yetzer Hara can very quickly get you to buy in, because he's not coming to present himself as an avera. He says, no, doing this is for you is a mitzvah. For you, it's a big mitzvah to do this thing. What would be an example of that? What's an example of an avera? If the Yetzer Hara tries to convince you, no, it's a really big mitzvah.
Staying late in the base.
Staying late in the base and then missing Shachas. Good. It's a good example. Right? Push yourself to learn late at night, and then what happens? Then you're burnt out for a week. So who won? It looked like a mitzvah. But wow, Madrigos in learning. Right? Amilas Vatara. It's a joke. It was a setup. So that's what it means, Hatzileni na miyad achi, miyad Esav. Right? Be careful. Be careful of the Yetzer Hara that comes to you as a brother. Sometimes, the way Beis Halevi explains it also, sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes to you as an Esav, and sometimes he comes to you as a brother. That's why later in the Parsha, you have an example of this, when Esav encounters Yaakov, and he runs over and he kisses him, or at least is forced to kiss him. What did he want to do initially? What did Chazal say? He wanted to bite him. But he was forced to kiss him. So the way that the Svarim explain is that the Yetzer Hara, that Esav, tries to get us in two different ways. He would like to bite us. He would like to harm us. But if he can't harm us, what will he do? He'll kiss us. He'll assimilate us. The kiss of Esav, so Hasemis has a lashon, I think, that the kiss of Esav is worse than the bite of Esav. That when the Yetzer Hara tries to play nice, that's sometimes even scarier. When he comes at you like an enemy, at least you know he's trying to destroy you. You can fight back. Right? But when he comes to you like a brother, and he pretends to be on your team, sometimes you don't realize for a long time that you're being fooled. He's pulling the wool over your eyes. So that's what Yaakov's tefillah was. Protect me from, again, Esav, the spiritual embodiment of Esav, the Yetzer Hara, when he comes to seduce me, pretending to be my brother. Okay, next piece. A lot of short pieces in this week's parsha. Va'ata amarta heitev eitiv imach. Look how the Baruch Shemar explains. Va'ata amarta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised me, heitev eitiv imach. Why the double lashon of hatava? Perish she'etiv to do tova, to do good. Right? But why a double lashon? Perish she'etiv imach she'hatov be'izgalya l'chol shehu tova. Heitev etiv means, if we take a half a step back, we remind ourselves that everything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does in the world is good. But there's different types of good. There's good that we call revealed good, and there's good that we call concealed good. So Yaakov says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, I know that everything you do is good, but heitev eitiv. I want a good that's recognizably good. Right. We say a bracha in the morning, we say as part of Birchas HaShachar, we refer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as HaGomel Chasadim Tovim Ba'amu Yisrael. What does Chasadim Tovim mean as opposed to Chasadim Ra'im? Good chesed as opposed to bad chesed? What's bad chesed? Chesed by definition is good. The answer is that everything Hashem does is a chesed. Olam chesed yibana. Everything Hashem does in this world is a chesed. It's good for you. But good isn't always fun. Good isn't always pleasant. And good isn't always easily recognized. So when a person's going through a difficult time, and they're wondering, well, why is Hashem doing this to me? Again, a mature Jewish thinker knows that everything Hashem does is good, but again, it's not clear to you why it's good. And you're left with a lot of questions. So therefore, Yaakov says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, heitev eitiv imach. Perish again, she'etiv imach she'hatov bizgalia lachol shehu tova. That the good should be bizgalia. What does bizgalia mean? In a state of revelation, okay, in a revealed state. It should be revealed to all that it's good, recognizably good. She'lefamim yesh chasadim mechusim she'inir alayin. When a person has, God forbid, a tumor in their body, and the surgeon performs a delicate procedure to remove that tumor, right? That's a great thing. It's so good. A person doesn't look like they're having a good time. It may take a long time for them to recover. Right? And the procedure itself is painful. But it's good. It's good for them. But that's a painful type of good. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gomel Chasadim Tovim. Right? Say in Shmon Esrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us to have good. Revealed good. Because again, sometimes there are Chasadim that are hidden from the eye. Va'ad Rabba Nira Shehi Ra Va'atov Mechusa. Sometimes, even after thinking about it, you say, there's nothing good here. Why did it end up this way? Masha'in came baso sabori baruch hu chesed magula ma'adam. As opposed to when a Kadosh Baruch Hu does and performs revealed good in the world, os hatov hu magula. And that's what Yaakov was asking. Yaakov, again, being the mature Eved Hashem that he was, understood that everything Hashem does is good. But I'm not really sure how this is good. And Hashem, you promised me revealed good. And right now, my own brother is coming to murder me. So please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, v'nahafach hu, turn this around for me. O Yavur, you could say slightly differently. V'ata amarta heitev eitev imach, in the next little piece. Maza kefa lashon heitev eitev. What is the double lashon of heitev eitev? Ki nei habore mashpia shefa, v'no sein tovo l'amu Yisrael, v'gama shefa ba ala umos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a lot of things to this world that are received by Jews and Gentiles alike. Now let's learn this piece not so much through the lens of the Chachmei or the Tzadikei Umas HaOlam. Right? Let's talk about the people in the world who wonder why on earth Hashem keeps them hanging around. Yeah? People like the leader of North Korea, V'chulu. What does Hashem need these Meshuganas in the world for? Right? And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them success. Financial success. Hashem gives them political power. So Hashem's not only giving goodness to Klal Yisrael, He gives good things to people who are Rishon Gemurim. So what's the pshat? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia Shefa. Hashem sends good things to Klal Yisrael, and He sends good things to the world, to general, to the Umos HaOlam. Again, to not be so negative towards Goyim, we'll focus on those who are particularly bad. Makes it easier for us to understand. Okay. Because there are people of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mistamba sends Shefa Tov because they're doing good. They're practicing the Shefa Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Right? They have a positive attitude towards Klal Yisrael. So let's focus on the Rishon of the Umos HaOlam, who are successful. How could such a thing be? V'achilak b'neihem. But there's a big difference when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a gift to a Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a gift to a Rasha of the Umos HaOlam. The difference is, HaTovos Shenosin La'amu Yisrael, HaKavanu Hu B'Shvil Tova. When Hashem gives a good thing to a Jew, Hashem gives good for the sake of good. It's good l'shem good. Meaning what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you something good, not as a setup to destroy you. Not as a means of taking away your Olam Haba. Right? Not as a way for you to take that good thing and use it to, God forbid, get lost in this world. Hashem gives you a good thing and He wants you to use it in a good way, and it's possible to receive it in a good way. It's a genuine expression of Hashem's love for you. V'atov ha'shava l'umos hu al derech u'mishalim l'sonov el panov l'havidom. Very end of Parshas V'aschanu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a gift to the Umos HaOlam, when Hashem does a tova for the Umos, it's mishalim l'sonov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays His enemies el panov l'havidom. Essentially getting paid off in their lifetime, right, so that their eternity will be nothing but punishment. Right? So for whatever they deserve, they're going to get it all now. But it's a means of preparing their downfall. And therefore, their perception of tova, that which they felt was a Kadosh Baruch Hu doing good for them, right? A good sign, things are going their way. It's just a Kadosh Baruch Hu setting them up for a bigger fall. Right? It's Haman HaRasha. You know, building a big gallows to hang Mordechai, which was really built for himself. Heichin lo. Chazal darshan lo heichin. He prepared it for himself. Heichin lo, he prepared it for him being Mordechai. Chazal saying Gemara Megillah, lo heichin. No, really he was prepared. He was prepared for himself. Lo, for himself, heichin, he was prepared. Yeah? The Sfarim say that Chanukah, sorry, I have to do this. The Sfarim say that Chanukah comes from Purim. Right, Purim came historically before Chanukah. Purim was in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and Chanukah was the midway point of Bayis Sheni. There's a lot of different Svarim HaKadoshim try to explain how the roots of Chanukah are found already within Purim. That Purim, so to speak, gives birth to Chanukah. Right? They're both Yom Tovim Derabanan. The last mitzvah is Derabanan. And Purim somehow is Mashpia upon Chanukah. Yeah? So you can think about it. But I'm thinking now, it says that Haman prepared the gallows, Heichin Lo. He prepared it for him. Him being Mordechai. But really, Lo Heichin. For himself he prepared it. Right? But Lo is the Lamed Vav Neros Chanukah. That Lo Heichin, he was preparing the 36 candles of Chanukah. Right, what do we say? What was the big number this week? The big number this week was what? 936. Yeah? We said 936 is 36 candles times 26 times Hashem's name. Because Hashem's name is Shorah on each of the candles. 36 times 26 was 936. That was our big number this week. What's the gematria of Mordechai plus Esther? How much is Esther?
561.
Esther is 661? I think that's gematria Lashon Hara. And what's Mordechai?
264.
Mordechai is 274. So what's 661 and 274?
935.
So when you're kolel them together, plus the kolel, right, it's 936. So the heroes of Purim are very much connected somehow to Chanukah. Again, you have to work on it. I'm just telling you, this is not my own thing. This is what you find in the Sfarim HaKadosh. At the roots of... Why what?
Why is Esther Lashon Hara?
Why is Esther Gematria Lashon Hara? Because she's the Zelum Azev of Haman. And the Gemara says about Haman that there was no one in history who knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. He was the biggest Baal Lashon Hara. But it becomes a theme on Chanukah. Silence is a big theme on Chanukah also. It's a tikkun of the peh. Right? Klausenberger Rebbe in the Shef HaChaim on Chanukah says... Page 33 in Maimer Yud Gimel, he says there's no Maseches Chanukah. Why is there no Maseches Chanukah? He says because Chanukah has a lot to do with Machshava, and Chanukah has a lot to do with Chashmonai. Chashmonai, he says, lashon of silence. Right? Milashon Chashim, Milashon Shtika, Bechinas Shtika. It's a lot to right. You just sit by the candles. The candles don't say anything. I mean, they do, but you just sit. It's a time of looking. Purim, you listen to the Megillah. It's Kriyas HaMegillah. Chanukah, it's just a time of looking. So he says there's no Maseches Chanukah because Chanukah is a very quiet holiday. You think about what that means. Again, Shtika and Chanukah is a big Indian. That's what I'm talking about. But it makes sense that out of Mordechai and Esther comes forth Chanukah. So Mordechai and Esther is Gematria 935. Kolel, you put them together, is 936. Is the Gematria of all the Ramazim we said earlier in the week about 936. Yeah.
I heard a couple of days ago,
like, Hatzileni na Miyad is Haman. Right, the Baal Turim says, Hatzileni na Miyad is Rashi Tevos Haman. Right, so part of, again, certainly Haman is going to come from Esav. And we'll maybe, right, Haman is from Amalek, and Amalek is the grandson of Esav. So, it's all connected. Why do we get into that? Oh, Heichin, Lo, Heichin, right. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up the enemies for their big downfall. Right, so Lo Heichin. That Haman thought he was about to destroy the Jews, and really he was preparing what? He was preparing the 36 Neros of Chanukah, which declare the eternity of the Jewish people. The fact that we can never be destroyed. That the Pach Shemen will always remain pure. So how ironic it is that Haman, who wanted to completely destroy us, right, maybe in some penevious way, was preparing the Shoresh of Chanukah, which of course would highlight our eternity, the light of Klal Yisrael. Kiner mitzvah v'toror. Kiner Hashem nishma saltam. The Torah will live on and the Jewish people will live on. Okay, so let's go on to the next piece. So this is heitev eitev. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Yaakov says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, when it comes to me, heitev eitev. Do good that what? That is truly good. Because we know that Hashem, sometimes you do good to set people up for a downfall. Like the pasuk says at the end of Eschanan, "Meshalim lisonav elpanov," Hashem pays back the wicked in their lifetime la'abida, right? To destroy them. So Yaakov's tefillah was, Hashem, again, I know everything you do is good, and I want to recognize the good, and I also want you to act towards me, Hashem, with a goodness that's truly good. That this shouldn't just be a good that really I'm going to have to answer for at some later time. Okay. Okay, Yaakov sends a message. Ki evgashcha Esav achi, ushe'elcha lemor mi'ata. When you meet up with Esav, and Esav says, what's this all about? Yeah. You're wondering what this is all about. Esau's going to, how did you get so rich, Yaakov? Who are all these people? Your wives, your children, your possessions. So says the Berditchver, a very important piece, B'derech Avoda. How do we, when the Yetzer Hara says, what are you up to? When the Yetzer Hara says to you, right, Lemiata, who are you? What are you trying to do? How do you convince the Yetzer Hara, or how do you get him to leave you alone so that you can do mitzvahs? How do you get him off your back? So says the Berditchver, I'll tell you a rule. When a person is just getting started in his Avodas Hashem, and the Yetzirah is still chasing him around, at the beginning it's particularly hard. The Yetzirah is particularly active to try to stop you from getting going in your Avodas Hashem. Because again, once you get it going, you know, hopefully mitzvah goreres mitzvah, and one thing leads to the next. So at the beginning of one's Avodas Hashem, there's a lot of stumbling blocks. The Yetzirah is working very hard to stop you. So how do you convince him to leave you alone? Yachshov lo, shebavodaso laHashem yagil lo tovos olam hazeh gamken. Tell the Yetzer Hara, right, which might be embodied by your body, right, that there's a lot of physical olam hazeh gains to be had through a life of Torah mitzvahs. How are you going to convince him of that? What's the proof that it's true? How about Shema? You say Shema every day. Hashem, if I keep the Torah and mitzvot, you'll make it rain. And then my crops will grow, and I'll sell them in the marketplace, and I'll make a lot of money, and then I'll buy a Lamborghini, you know. Tell the Yetzer Hara, if I'm a good Jew, this is good for you too. You like nice cars, you like big houses, you like a lot of, nice wad of hundreds in the back pocket. So Yetzer Hara, if you let me be a good Jew, there's a lot of olam hazeh to be gained. Uvezeh muchna ha Yetzer Hara shalo lekatreg oso al dvekuso b'Hashem. And then the Yetzer Hara will hopefully buy in, and muchna means he'll be humbled, right? He'll back down a little bit, and he'll allow you to attach yourself to Hashem. Ba'acher kach kishikvar medabik atzma ba'Hashem. And then once the Yetzer Hara backs up a little bit, and now you're attached to Hashem, oz avodos rak lasos nachas ruach liyotzro v'lo l'tovas olam hazeh. Then, now I'm not sure if he's saying that these are two stages of life, or we're saying this is the fake out. You trick the Yetzer Hara and then you switch gears. Right? You could say it's two different stages of life. In one's younger years, there's an element of mitoch shalo lishma ba lishma, that I'm a good Jew because I know if I'm a good Jew, I'll get a lot of good things in this world and in the next world. But I do it for the prizes. I'm an asla kabel pras. Right? And then later, after I've already established a connection with Hashem, then I switch gears. That's one way to understand it. The other way to understand it is that I just tell the Yetzer Hara one thing and then I do something else. Why do I think to maybe interpret the piece like that? Because there's a famous idea that the Svarim developed. Rav Tzadok has this in Pri Tzadok, and others have it as well. A medrash in Bechukosai. In Bechukosai, Teilecho. Right? If you walk in my ways, Hashem says. So the medrash says that David HaMelech, Pasuk says about David HaMelech, the medrash says in Bechukosai, that David HaMelech started off every morning. He said, I would set out to go to a particular place, and my feet would bring me to the base medrash. Different ways to understand that medrash. Right? That I went out to do my business, and my feet took me to the base medrash. So the way that some of the tzaddikim explain is that to get the Yetzer Hara off your back, you have to make it seem like you're just going to do your business. You're getting up in the morning to go to davening. Yetzer Hara says, whoa, you're going to davening? Since when do you go to minyan? So you say, no, I'm just getting up because I'm hungry. I'm going to have breakfast. Oh, okay. And then once you're out of bed, then you're on to minyan. Fake him out. Right. So that's what David HaMelech meant. David HaMelech says, right, that I would set out in the morning, I would tell the Yetzer Hara I'm going one place, but my feet would bring me to the base medrash. Meaning what? Then I would switch gears. So it could be that's what the Berditchver is saying here. Tell the Yetzer Hara I'm doing mitzvos. Why? Because I want big rewards. But then, once you actually start to do the mitzvah, you attach yourself to Hashem, then just do it, l'shem shemayim, v'lo l'tovas olam hazeh. And don't do it because you get a prize. That's a childish way to serve Hashem. Again, you could argue it's two different stages of life. That at the beginning, it's good to give prizes. It's good to think about the great reward you're going to get. But as you get more connected, you realize that the prize itself is what? It's simply the fact that I have the opportunity to connect to Hashem. You know who says that idea? Who says the idea that it's good to do mitzvos because the mitzvah itself is the reward? Who says that idea?
When he says,
right. Where is that?
Tisha's
Levi, where is it? Vahaya Ekev Tishmun. Aval Ikra Atana Gua Mitzvah Gufa. Tzchar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Okay, the first piece in Parsha is Ekev. So again, a more mature understanding is that I don't do the mitzvah for the price. But you know what? If that's a way to convince me it's hard to leave you alone, then go for it. And do it. If it works, it works. So he says, that's the pshat. When Yaakov sends a message, when Esav asks you, what's going on here? What is all this? Try to tell Esav why it's beneficial for him. Let's read the words inside. Vizet, ki efgashcha Esav achi, when my brother Esav encounters you, usha'elcha lemi, and he says, what is all this? All right, lemiato, what's going on here? The hainu hayetzahara shemachuna b'shem Esav. Like we said, the Yetzahara is sometimes referred to as Esav. Esav is a code word for the Yetzahara. Sheyifgosh b'malache, Yaakov, when he meets up with the angels of Yaakov, what are the angels of Yaakov? Shehei machshavos kedoshos shel Yaakov, the holy thoughts of Yaakov. Shemimenu nivrao malachim, that from those pure thoughts, angels were created. V'hu yikatrig lemachshavos anatelech, and the Yetzahara comes and says to those machshavos, you have pure ideas, pure intentions, good goals for yourself, right? Holy desires. The Yetzahara says, whoa, where are you going? Anatelech, what's happening here? What is all this? Va'amarta, what should you say to Esav? La'avdecha li'Yaakov. Again, the pashup shot, when Esav says, what is all this? Say, it's your servant, it's Yaakov, your servant's stuff. So the pashup shot is Yaakov is being submissive to Esav. He's saying, I'm calling himself the servant of Esav. Right? But in Pnimia, says the Berditchever, tell the Yetzahara, la'avdecha Yaakov, that the Yaakov, so to speak, is working for you. Anu malache Yaakov, shebemtzos maisim atovim anu nivram. We are the angels of Yaakov, created through his good actions. Ve'altikatrig li Yaakov al maisim atovim. And don't be nervous. If you're wondering what all this is, all this that Yaakov has created for himself, don't worry. What's the next part of the pasuk? Ki mincha hishlucha la'adoni le'esav. Because all of this is really just a gift for you, Esav. Try to convince the Yetzirah that all of the Avodas Hashem is just what? So that you can have success. Again, the Torah doesn't talk about Olam Haba. The Torah promises things in this world. So tell the Yetzirah. Maybe this is an answer to the Kli Yakar's question, why the Torah doesn't talk about Olam Haba. Because if the Torah says the reward is Olam Haba, then the Yetzirah is not going to listen. But if the Torah says the reward is Olam Hazeh, then you tell the Yetzirah, listen, all the Torah that I'm doing, and all the mitzvot that I'm doing, and all the tefillah that I'm davening, it's all a mincha hishlucha la'adoni Esav. All of it is for Adoni. It's for you, my master. It's for you, Esav. And that's how you trick the Yetzirah. Shegam lecha nogei ha'tov. Tell the Yetzirah that this is also relevant for him. Shebam tzos ma'isav ha'tovim yegil lo olam hazeh. That through good deeds, a person is zocha not only to the next world, but to this world. Sha'olam hazeh hi minchas ha'yetzirah. That this world, again, is the mincha, so to speak, the peace offering. Right, is the gift that's given to the Yetzirah. Gevaldik, no? It's a chashuv technique. And you have to remember that. Again, it's true on a simple level in terms of just getting yourself started. Do mitzvos so that you can get a good life in this world. Right? But more than that, use that as a way to keep the Yetzirah off your back. And then, right, when he's not looking, so to speak, then try to be a more mature Jew who serves Hashem l'shem Shemayim. Okay, we'll skip the next little piece. It's a little bit deep, and our time is quickly running out. Let's jump ahead to Vayomer Shalcheni Ku'ala Shachar. Yitzhara says, Yitzhara in a different form now. This is in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk of Zayin. When Yaakov encounters Saro Shal Esav, he's fighting against the Malach of Esav, and Yaakov seems to be winning. And the Saro Shal Esav says to him, Vayomer Shalcheni Ku'ala Shachar, let me go, send me away. Shalcheni, send me away, ki Allah hashachar, because the morning has come. You know what they were fighting about? What were they fighting about? What did Yaakov go back for?
Little jars.
Pachim katana, right? Pach shaman. They're fighting over Hanukkah. They're fighting over Hanukkah. There's a big fight over Hanukkah. Yeah? That's why I went back for Pachim Katanim. That's why we say, by the way, we say in the songs of Hanukkah, we say Uminosar Kankanim, Nasa Nes Lashoshanim. Yeah? Emosar? What does that mean? Uminosar, from the remnant of Kankanim. Anyone have a question on that? From the remnant of the jars? So you could say, yeah, the one jar that remained from all the other jars. But it sounds like what? It sounds like there were jars that were left over. Why doesn't it say Minosar Kankan? From the one jar, the single Pach Shemin that they found. What do you mean Minosar Kankanim? So I saw in a Sefer recently, I don't remember what Sefer was. Maybe the Sefer, I think it's called Idis Shabi Idis Hanukkah. I don't know who he quotes, I'll have to look. But he says there, in that Sefer, he says that Minosar Kankanim is being Rambis to Yaakov's Pachim Katan. They were fighting over Hanukkah. Yaakov went back to fight for the Pach Shemen. Why he had Pachim, and later we have why he had Pachim, and later we have a Pach Shemen. A single Pach is a good question. No, bring me some proofs that they're fighting for Hanukkah. Bring me some proofs. Want to read the Pesukim? Anyone have a Chumash? When did the fight take place? What's the Torah? How does the Torah introduce it? I'm not going to get totally off track now. Yeah, Techla Regam and Ashok, for sure. Yeah, when did the fight take place?
Right before dawn.
How does it start? Vayakom b'laylahu. Vayikach ha'shtein ha'shav ha'shteis shifchosav. And his 11 children. And he crossed over the Nachal. Yeah, vayivaso Yaakov levado. Vayavik yishimo. Yeah, when did the fight take place? What's it supposed to say? Vayakom b'laylahu. That's an interesting phrase. No, b'laylahu. It doesn't say b'laylahahu. Usually you find b'laylahahu. Belila who is always something. Whenever the Torah has Belila who, something big is happening. What's the gematria of Belila who? Vayakom Belila who? Was that night? Not Hahu, Belila who?
89
is gematria of Hanukkah. Right. Vayakom Belila who? It was that night. What night? Belila who? Hanukkah. Gematria of Hanukkah. Yeah? And Yaakov does what? V'yikachim v'yavireim es hanachal. He crosses a nachal. Nachal's Rashi Tevos lahadlik ner Chanukah. V'yaver es asher lo. Lamed vav, 36 neros of Chanukah. V'yivaser Yaakov levado, which if you look in Rabbeinu Bechai, he says lakado. He went back for his kad, his pach shemen. V'yavik yishimo, adalos hashachar. V'yar kilo yachal lo. And he saw that he couldn't get Yarkilo Yachalo, he wasn't able to get Yachalo. He wasn't able to get the 36 Neros. He was trying, the Sar Shalisa was trying to steal Hanukkah. Vayiga, Bekaf Yerecha, what's the Gematria of Vayiga? Vav Yod Gimel Ayin. 79. How about 89?
Yeah.
Vayiga is Gematria of Hanukkah. Where does he hit him? In the Kaf Yerecha. Why does he hit him in the Kaf? How many mitzvahs are in the Torah? 613. How many mitzvahs the Rabbanan? 7. What's the last mitzvah the Rabbanan? Chanukah. So it's mitzvah 620. Yeah? The Sfarim say that the 620 letters in the Aseret HaDibros correspond to the 620 mitzvahs. What's the last word in the Aseret HaDibros? Don't be jealous of your friend's wife and your friend's car and your friend's this and all that your friend has. So the last letter of the Aseret HaDibros is what? Is Chaf Sofi. Which means that the letter of Hanukkah is the letter Chaf Sofi. So where did he hit him? He hit him in the Kaf. He hit him in the Kaf Yerecha. He hit him in the Chaf. Because that's the letter of Hanukkah. Yeah? Vateka Kaf Yach. What happens if Vateka Kaf Yach? What happened? When's the Zman for lighting Chanukah? Tichlo Regel Minashuk. Right, what happens when you get injured by getting struck in the Kaf Yirechel? There's a separation between the Regel and the Shok. The Shok is the thigh. That's where he got injured. There's a Tichlo Regel Minashuk, right, which we're metakein through Chanukah. V'yomer Shalcheni Kiyol HaShachar. And he says, no, I'm not sending you anywhere until you give me a bracha. Yeah.
This is recorded, right?
This is recorded, but there's a lot more. Maybe next week.
It's not going to pass today.
Yeah. There's a ton of Ramazan here. Pachim Kitanim, Lamed Vav, they're fighting over Low. Ki Lo Yachol, he wasn't able to get him. Kaf Yerecha. Balai Lahu is Chanukah. Vayiga. Why is it Vayiga, by the way? It doesn't say he hit him. What does it say? What does it say? It doesn't say he hit him. Vayiga means what? He touched him. He touched him. Why did he touch him? Why didn't he hit him? He touched him.
All you need to do is touch
that's,
the oil.
That's right. What did the Yavanim do to Metame the oil? Right? Tosva says that it was Tumas Hesed. All they have to do is make contact with it, to touch it. Right? Because they were Tame. They didn't smash all the jars. They just touched all the jars. That's why the Svarim said, Megal Amukos talks about it, the Chida talks about it, the five fingers of your hand correspond to the thumb is Klal Yisrael, and the four, that's right, Klal Yisrael stands apart, and the other four fingers are the four exiles. Yeah? Bavel, Parasumadai, call it Madai, Paras, Parasumadai, right? Yavan and Edom. Yeah, so what's the order? So the Svarim usually say, that you go like this. You go in order. That the thumb, again, the thumb is Klal Yisrael. Yeah? The thumb is Klal Yisrael. And Bavel, Paras, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. If that's true, then Yavan is the ring finger. Right? But I would argue that maybe the middle finger is Yavan. I would argue that. See, look like this. Imagine if you start from the pinky. If you say the pinky is the first gullus, and you see each gullus gets bigger. Right? I mean, why is this finger not the longest? Why is the etzba not the longest finger? It goes up, up, up. It should be up. Why does it go down? Why does gullus etzem go down? According to this, Yavan is the worst gullus, which I could definitely make a case for. Yavan's the tallest finger. It's the worst gullus. Why does it go down? Why does the last one go down? Who's Edom? Who's Edom? Edom is Rome, Korban by Yisheni. Edom is Esav. Edom is Christianity. Why does it go down a little bit? Hatileni na miyad achim yad Esav. Exactly. That's part of the attack. Part of the assimilation is, oh, we're not so bad. We're not as bad as the other ones. Right? They dafka lower themselves a little bit. If that's true,
really the strongest.
Then if the middle finger is Yavan, which again, I can't give you the whole shiur on it now, but if the middle finger is Yavan, right, then Yavan corresponds to touch. So we've said in the past from Rabbeinu Bechaya and Parsha Tzav that the five fingers correspond to the five senses. The thumb is taste, the etzba is smell, yeah, the middle finger is touch, because it's the first one to touch. The kmitza, the ring finger is used for sight, and the pinky is keneged shmiya, hearing. Rabbeinu Bechaya says the five fingers correspond to the five senses, they each know where to go. The thumb goes naturally to the mouth, the etzba goes to the nose, which is smell. Right? The longest finger is the first one to touch, corresponds to touch. This people use to wipe their eye, and this pinky people use to clean their ear, the five senses. So if that's true, that means that Gullis Yavan is the Gullis of touch. So Vayiga b'kaf yarech Yaakov. It doesn't hit Yaakov. It just touches him. The malach just touches him. Yeah? What animal is Yavan? We said already. What animal is Yavan?
A rabbit.
Why? Because a rabbit is?
Short arms.
Make a touch. To reach. It has to be reaching. It has to be striving. Okay, back to Kedushas later. Yeah, it's almost Chanukah, we gotta get going. We haven't done anything yet. Alright, Mir Tzashem next week. Good? So the Malach says to him, I have to go. Vayomer Shalchini ki Allah HaShachar. Yeah, I gotta go. Sun's coming up, I gotta go. Ayin Barashi Shegi Ha'es Lomar Shira. So he says, I gotta go because the time has come to sing Shira. The Malach has to go sing to Hashem. Yeah? You know, it's Hanukkah, you gotta sing. The Medrash says, Shemi Olam Lomar Shira Adayin. The Malach says, I've never had the opportunity to sing Shira, and now for the first time I'm going to sing Shira. Yaakov beats the Malach, and the Malach says, for the first time I'm going to sing Shira. So we've said in the past from the Avodas Yisrael, the Kazrus or Magid, the famous Pshat of the Kazrus or Magid, that yes, who was this Malach? The Yetzer Hara, Satan, Malach HaMaves. Why is he singing Shira? When does a Malach sing Shira? When he finishes his mission. What is the mission of the Yetzer Hara? To be defeated by you. Yetzer Hara is really on your team. He's the Malach Hashem. Don't ever forget that when Yaakov beats the Malach says, now my job is done. Because my true desire is to be defeated by you. I'm paid as an actor, I have to work against you. That's my job. But really we're on the same team. And when you beat me, that's a gevaldik simcha for both of us. My time has come to sing Shira. That's from the Avodas Yisrael, the Kozhnitz or Magid. Says the Kedushas Levi, V'yesh l'havin lama higia ata ha'es shalo lomar shira. In a similar fashion, the Kedushas Levi asks, why dafka now did his time for shira come? V'nira dine kol ha'sarim shalo umos omar shira. All of the sarim, all of the ministering angels of the different nations of the world sing shira. V'emasai omar shira. When does the malach of a non-Jewish nation get to sing shira? K'sha'osa eiza uma chesed lamata im yisra. When that nation does something good for Klal Yisrael. When a non-Jewish nation performs a chesed for the Jewish people, their malach and shemayim is rewarded with the opportunity to sing shira to the Rabbon Hashol. Mizeh magia lehem is gabris l'sar shalehem lomar shira. V'kan hayasar shal Esav. So in this particular case, this wasn't just any sar, it was the sar shal Esav. Mamish, a big koach of tumah. And yet here, Esav performed a kindness for Yaakov. And because of the kindness that Esav performs for Yaakov, the malach of Esav is zochet to sing Shira. Now the Berdichever doesn't tell us what is the kindness that Esav did for Yaakov here. So what would you say? Well, that's what the malach did. What's the kindness that Esav does? He doesn't say. I would just say, again, I don't know if this is really the answer, but B'derech HaPshat, the most Pasha Pshat, is that Esav comes to Yaakov. Again, reading between the lines, he's trying to murder. Reading the Chumash in English without any Mefarshim, sounds like Esav's a nice guy. He comes to Yaakov, he runs over to him, he gives him a big hug and a kiss. Right? He offers to travel with him, he offers to provide men to watch over Yaakov. So B'derech HaPshat, Esav is actually looking out for his brother. It seems that some of his anger has dissipated. Okay, you read between the lines, you read Chazal, Esav's trying to murder Yaakov, and he's even when he's not murdering him, he's trying to seduce him to sin. Right? But B'derech HaPshat, Esav performed a chesed with Yaakov here. And because of that, the malach of Esav was zochet to sing Shira. V'lakach amru shemi olam lo amar Shira, v'ati gi ha'es shalo lo amar Shira. And now for the first time, this malach is Esav, maybe for the first time, is acting positively towards Yaakov. Kimi olam lo asa Esav im Yaakov chesed, because until this point, Esav had never performed a chesed for Yaakov. Va'ata asa chesed im Yaakov, v'lakach higia ito lomar shira. And therefore his time had arrived to sing shira. Again, I'm still not 100% sure what the chesed was. What was the chesed that Esav did for Yaakov? But it could be the fact that he didn't kill him and that he offered to look out for him and to travel together and to take care of him. Yaakov, of course, rejected that offer. But, okay. This was maybe the first time that Esav had performed chesed for Yaakov. But the world should know that when they're kind to the Jewish people, then they're zochet to be rewarded. Okay? All right, let's do a drop more. Only a couple pieces left. Sorry I wasted a little time with my tangents on Hanukkah. But okay, let's see the next piece. Vayomer lo Yaakov ye'omer vayomer lo Yaakov ye'omer od shimcha. Your name will no longer be called Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael. Ki sarisa im Elokim ve'im anashim batucham. Why are you now going to be called Yisrael? Ki sarisa. Sarisa could be a lashon of struggling. Sarisa is also a lashon of Sarara, right? That you've attained greatness amongst God and amongst men. Kisarisa im Elokim. You've made strides in your life, both with God and with man. Vatuchal, you've been successful. So says the Berditcher, there's two different types of people who are attached to Hashem. Again, some of these pieces are very lofty. Maybe they're beyond us in terms of our practical avoda right now. But it's important to realize that there are certain madrigos that we can hope for in avodas Hashem. Ha'inyan ki yesh adam shu davuk tamid b'habore baruch hu afilu kushu medabrim b'nei adam. There's one type of person, there's the type of Jew who's always connected to Hashem. Even when he's engaged in mundane pursuits, even when he's talking to someone, right? He's really connected to Hashem. Even when he's conversing with Bnei Adam. So for example, you could have the type of person, right? Who goes to the supermarket. Yeah. And when you say thank you to the, when you say thank you to the person who's, you know, bagging your groceries, you're also saying thank you to Hashem. It's a simple level. Because you are thankful to that person, and you're also thankful that Hashem gave you the money to buy food. So even though you're saying thank you, the person thinks you're talking to them, but you're also talking to Hashem. You're davak to Hashem at the moment that you're being medaber in Bnei Adam. V'yesh Adam, shu davak ba'abore baruch hu, v'yesh sha'osik ba'avodaso v'terasu mitzvoso. There's another type of person who's attached to Hashem when he's learning, when he's doing mitzvos, when he's involved in avodas Hashem, aval kishu medaber in bnei adam, when he talks to people, einu yachol ledabik machshavaso la'abore baruch hu. He's not able to connect everything that he says to God. There are tzaddikim that every word that comes out of their mouth is really communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though they're pretending to talk to you. Right? There's a line in the Ramban in Parshas Ekev, a famous line from the Ramban. I wrote it down at the bottom here. The Ramban says in Parshas Ekev, in my footnote, it says, look in the Ramban. Here's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, there are some people who are so davak in Hashem, here's what he says, Achiyu dvarav in b'nei adam, b'piv uvil shono, that when they're talking to people, they're talking to the person only with their mouth and their tongue, v'libo einenu imahem, but their heart is not with them. Now again, you might think this is a pagam in b'nei adam l'chavero, because I'm not really talking to the person I'm talking to, I'm just using you as a, you know, as an object to really talk to Hashem. Right? But there are tzaddikim who could be there fully with you and fully with Hashem. So pivu l'shono are with the person that they're talking to, right? V'libo einenu imahem, but their heart is always connected to Hashem and no one else. B'chol levavcha, with all your heart. Love Hashem with all your heart. There's no room for anyone else. Even for my wife and for my children and for my friends and for my community. I interact with them on a superficial level, which might still be very deep. Right? But my deepest connection is only with Hashem. Yeah.
Why does there need to be a separation? Why can't you speak to someone and speak to the godliness?
Okay, maybe that's what it means. Maybe that's what it means. You're talking to the Chelak Eloka inside of them. Could be. Okay, so these are two madregos of people. V'abachina ha'echad, the first type is called Yisrael, Nikri Yisrael. Right? There's Yisrael and there's Yaakov. Yaakov is a person who talks to people and serves Hashem in the Beis Medrash. Yisrael is the type of person who's what? Why was Yaakov called Yisrael? Kisarisa im Elokim v'im anashim. Meaning what? He says again, Habachina ha'alef nikri Yisrael. Kihu osios yashar kel v'gam li rosh. The first madrega who's always connected to Hashem is called Yisrael. Yisrael means yashar kel, that I'm straight to Hashem. Everything I say goes straight to Hashem. V'gam li rosh. And Li Rosh is also the letters Yisrael. What does he mean by Li Rosh? Not sure. He said a couple of pshatim, but I'm not sure what he means by Li Rosh. I guess Li Rosh means I'm always connected at the top. And I'm not, you know, I'm not connecting. Even my connections below are really connected on high. V'abachina habe is Nikra Yaakov. And the lower level is called Yaakov. Yud Akev. Right, or Yud Akev. V'zeh lo Yaakov kim Yisrael ki sarisam elokim. And that's what the Malach is saying. The Malach says, Yaakov, you've attained the ability to what? Kisarisa im Elokim, klomar. Sha'ata davuk be'elokim, afilu kisha'ata medaber im b'nei adam. Kisarisa im Elokim, you're connected to Hashem, right? Even when you're talking to people. V'zeu im Elokim v'im anashim v'atuchal. That you're able, ledavik machshavascha tamil labore bisbarach. that in every single thing that you do, you're able to maintain that connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very chashuv thing. Again, it's a lofty madrega, but there's ways to practice it, even in a way that works for us. Okay, skip the next piece, and let's go on to Milacha, Kol HaMachaneh Hazeh. Okay, we'll do two more pieces. He says, "What is all this again?" Milacha Kol HaMachaneh Hazeh, Vayomer Limtzol Chein Beinei Adoni. All of this is to find favor in my master's eyes. Right. So, what is Esav asking him? Why is Esav upset that Yaakov is so successful? Ayin b'Baal HaTur, and the Baal HaTur explains that Yaakov and Esav made a deal. Ki Yaakov lokach la'atzma olam haba, v'le'esav olam haza. That Yaakov and Esav divided the worlds. Yaakov took olam haba, and Esav took olam haza. So Esav was wondering, how does Yaakov have all this financial success in this world? V'agam sha'anu rawim ki yesh b'Yisrael gam kein ashirim. So says the Bar Ditchera, if you'll wonder why there's so many rich Jews in the world, seems to go against this reality that Yaakov took olam haza, olam haba. Amnam kol ashirim kulam he maleim yagun vanach. Like our guest speaker told us yesterday, that there's a lot of people who have a lot of money and have a lot of means to enjoy this world. But when you don't have Torah in your life, you don't have mitzvahs in your life, you're not connected to Hashem, all of that wealth is filled with what? Yagun vanach. With worry and concern. Right? The obligation of maintaining your stocks when you have a lot of money in the bank. The obligation of maintaining your business. The obligation of maintaining your image of doing everything in an extravagant way can become very burdensome and take away a lot of the simchas achayim. Kasher anu roen b'chush ha'ayin, says the Berditra, as we see with our own eyes. Ve'in lehem olam haza. And there are very rich Jews who don't have olam haza at all. Their olam haza is giving them nothing but tzaras. Avlam osam ha'ashir ma'ovid mazbora mitoch osham. But a person who uses his wealth to serve Hashem, a person who invests his financial success, he channels it towards Elokus, Yeshlem Tanud Mitoch Osho. Those are the people who truly enjoy their wealth in this world. Ki olam haza, here's the key line. Ki olam haza shaba min olam haba, ezeh lakach Yaakov. Because an olam haza that comes through olam haba, Yaakov does have a sheikhs too. If you have an olam habadik olam haza, right, so then you can truly enjoy that. That is our chelik in this world. And that's what Yaakov means when Esav says, what is all of this? Milacha kol ha'machaneh hazeh. How are you zochet to all this? What does he say back to him? V'zeh limtzochein be'enei adoni. It's all to find favor in my master's eyes, which of course, superficially, is talking to Esav. Bepnimius adoni stam hushchina. He's talking to Hashem. He's saying, in answer to Esav, right, but he's really answering for himself. How do I have all this success? How is Yaakov the Amud HaTorah, the pillar of Torah of the Avos? Right? The Ishtam Yoshev Awalim. So what is it? Which Awal was he in? Was he in the tent of shepherding or was he in the tent of Torah? And the answer is, it could be one and the same. A person who has a Torah-dic outset, mindset, can channel all of his financial success towards Elokos. I'll tell you a nice teaching from the Amshanavar, not the present Amshanavar, one of the earlier rebbes of Amshanav. To Gavaldik Torah, I really wanted to say it in Eretz Yisrael, I didn't get a chance to say it. He says that we know from Chazal that Yaakov and Yitzchak and Avram each called the Makom HaMikdash by a different name. What did Avram call it? Avram called it, Chazal say, a har. It was a mountain. Yitzchak called it, a sadeh. And Yaakov called it, a bayis. Yeah? There's a great Torah, there's a great conversation between, you have to know this Torah. There's a great Torah from Rav Chanan Wasserman and the Belzer Rebbe. They met up once at a spa. The Rebbe used to go to these like resort towns to breathe the fresh air because they were, you know, it must be going there to sell for a couple of months. You need a break once in a while. So the big tzaddikim used to take a break once in a while. Anyway, so the Belzer Rebbe and Rav Chanan Wasserman had a conversation where the Belzer Rebbe explained the Medrash. The Medrash says that when Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, first Hashem came with a machaneh, with a camp of angels. Right? In the last week's parasha, Machanayim. Yeah, Hashem came with a camp of angels to build the first wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah? So, Machanayim. What's the gematria of Machanayim? Machanayim is 103. Machanayim is 103. So Hashem came with a Machanayim of angels. Yeah? Then Avram came and he called it Har. Har, with the call out, plus one, is 206. It's another 103, so it's another wall. Yeah? Built another wall.
Why are we plus one?
We have to plus one to make this Torah work. Okay? Then, what did Yitzchak call it? Yitzchak called it Sadeh. Sadeh is 309, is another 103. Yeah? Then Yaakov called it Bias. Bias is 412, is another 103. Then we got four walls. Hashem came, made the first wall with a Machane of Angels, 103. Avram called it Har, another 103. Yitzchak called it Sadeh, another 103. Yeah? Yaakov called the Makom HaMikdash Bayis. Right, it's Beis Elokim, Vizeh Shar Shemayim. So he called the Bayis. So that's another 103. Yeah, so now we got four walls. Who built the roof? Moshe Rabbeinu. How many tefillos did Moshe daven? Vaeschanan el Hashem Beis HaYilemor. What's Vaeschanan's Gematria 515? Another 103. Another 103. 515. So Moshe put the finishing touches. You thought Moshe's tefillos were in vain? Each one added 103. Hashem started 103. Each one added another wall, and Moshe sealed it off, 515, with the roof. Okay? But Avram called it, I told you this Torah, because Avram called it Har, and Yitzchak called it Tzoda, and Yaakov called it Bayis. So the Amshanavar said that with each one of the Avos, they tried to make Elokus more accessible. At first, you think God can only be found on some mountaintop. Yeah? A person has to travel away from society to the top of a mountain. Maybe that's where Hashem is found. And then Yitzchak called it Sadeh. Right? Still got to do his bodas. You got to go out to a field. Got to go out somewhere. Into the forest. Right? Not as isolated, perhaps, as the top of some lofty mountain. Right? It's on the same, you know, level as society, but it's still away from society. And then Yaakov called it Bayis. Yaakov said, Hashem is not found on a mountaintop. Hashem is not found in a forest. Right? Hashem is found in a person's home. Hashem is found wherever you are to make Elokus accessible. You shouldn't think Hashem is only found in lofty experiences. Right? So that's what's happening here. A person who understands that Olam Hazeh can be found within Olam Haba, and Olam Haba can be found within Olam Hazeh. That gave Yaakov a right to the Ashiras of this world. That all of my gashmias is to serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I don't see the gashmias as a stira to my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Berditcher was saying here. That if you want to have real financial success in this world, you have to use that money. You have to use all of your financial success to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if it's self-serving, it's not going to give you pleasure. It's going to give you yagon va'anach. It's going to give you agony and frustration. Okay? Good? All right, last piece for today. Vateitze Dina Basleya. Two pieces after this. Tiny little piece, but just a nice pshat. We'll end on a nice, simple pshat. Vateitze Dina Basleya, Rabbi Seinu Zal Amru, Shinikris Al Shem Leya, Shiatzonis Haisa, Ayin Barash. Vateitze Dina went out, she's just like her mom. A Yatzonis Bas Yatzonis. Right, a woman who goes out, the daughter of a woman who went out. Where did Leya go out? And Dina goes out and she gets into a lot of trouble. It's not her fault. She gets abducted. Right? But Chazal are critical that she was too much out and about. Kol kvuda bas melech pnima. Right? The Jewish women are the embodiment of tznias. They have to, stay more reserved, more hidden. And she was too outgoing. She was too friendly. Okay. Chazal are able to say such a thing. Right? But where do we find that Leah also went out? After Rachel traded a night with Yaakov for Leah's Dudaim, it says that Leah went out to greet Yaakov to tell him, you're mine tonight. So Chazal, again, are critical of the fact that she went out to tell that to Yaakov. That was too forward. She was too forward with Yaakov. Okay, so Dina went out just like Leah went out. There's a link between Dina and her mother. Okay. V'nira perish alpi maimer rabbeinu zal. But says the Berditchever, I'll tell you a nicer pshat. Instead of one that's critical of Dina and Leah, I'll tell you one that's positive about both of them. Dina, we know, nishafcha b'me'ah shaleah l'nekeva, machmas tfilas Leah. We know that originally Dina was supposed to be a boy. And when Leah realized, I'm going to have so many male children that Rachel's not even going to have as many boys as Bilhah and Zilpah, she davened that the child should be transformed into a girl. Right? And it was. Different ways. Again, not for now. Interesting Sunday shir. You know, how do we understand Dina becoming a boy? Right? Was she switched? Right? Meaning originally Yosef was inside of Leah and Dina was inside of Rachel, and then they switched? Or they underwent some type of transformation? Has a lot of halachic ramifications. It sounds like a very science fiction-y kind of thing, but it has real halachic ramifications. With regard to what? With regard to what happens if a person, a woman who's not able to carry a child, her egg is taken, is fertilized by her husband's sperm, and then is carried inside of another woman, and that woman gives birth to the child. Who's the mother of the child? So say, what do you mean? Genetically, the child is the parents, right? Or is motherhood determined by birth? Like who gives birth? So it's interesting. The post can look at this sugya of Dina's switch to try to infer halachic things from that. And it's a big tumult in halacha. Okay? But we know that there was some type of switch took place. That Dina originally was supposed to not be Leah's child, and eventually, because she davened, she didn't want Rachel to lose out. So in the end, Dina was transformed to be Leah's female child. Okay? So that's what it means when the pasuk says, "Vatomer v'teitzei Dina bas Leah." Dina was bas Leah. Rashi says, wasn't she also bas Yaakov? Why are you calling her bas Leah? Explains the Berditch of Ratzalomer, Leah garam shetia bas. Why was Dina a bas? Because of Leah. Because of Leah's sensitivity towards Rachel, that's why Dina was a girl. Right? Originally, it was a different plan. V'lo zachar, kafia ibur al yedei tfilasa. It was through her tfila that Dina became a girl. U'machmas shahay sabas v'yaro so shchem. And because she was a girl, Shchem, who was looking for a shidduch, right? Shchem saw her. Shchem paid attention to her. But again, contained in this piece of the Kedushas Levi is an amazing idea. Right? That Leah gets the credit for Dina, it was her sensitivity, and it was her tefillah that caused Dina to be a bas. And again, it just goes to show that when a person davens for something, and a person makes efforts for something, not only does it hopefully come true, right? But there's a certain connection that's formed between the person who davened and the thing that happened. Lamashal, you daven for a person who's sick and they get better. Right? So not only are you happy that they got better, but you, so to speak, caused them to get better. You become almost like responsible for their creation, for their recreation. So again, it just goes to show you that the Tkoach HaTfila is a real thing. And Dina was Bas Leah, she's not Bas Yaakov. Right? Yaakov may have been the genetic father of Dina, right? But the spiritual creation of Dina was created through the sensitivity of her mother Leah. That's why she's called Dina Bas Leah. Okay, my friends, we learned a lot of beautiful things today. We thank our Rebbe, the Berditchever. I thank you for your patience. And we should have a beautiful Shabbos. Parshas Vayishlach. Okay. Do it, Nigan. Parshas Vayishlach, Nigan. No, Levi Yitzchak.
Let's do it.
Nigan?
Let's do it.
Still rolling.
Adalosa, loisa, shabbat, adalosa, shabbat.
Hashem Elokeinu, Amen. Hashem Elokeinu.